bless your heart.
Amen. All right, if you will stand with us tonight, Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter 22, and I want to say while you're turning, it's a real joy and privilege to be here, and I appreciate the Lord, don't you? And I appreciate that good singing we heard. And boy, I tell you, there's been a lot of times that I needed the Lord, and He's never let me down. He's been faithful. And we've stood in the hollow of His hand till the storm passes by, and God is so faithful. And boy, I appreciate that good singing tonight. He's been good in my life. Can't you say that tonight? God has been better to me than what I ever expected. And He's been far better to me than what I ever deserved. Amen. And I praise Him for that tonight. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 31. Thank you, preacher, for letting us preach tonight and be here. And I pray the Lord to help us. Luke 22 and verse number 31. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Let's go to God in prayer, then you can be seated. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again for the privilege to stand behind the sacred desk. I want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach the Word of God tonight. I pray that you'll help us and touch us. Lord, I pray that we'll see no man save Jesus only. May you be exalted and lifted up. Speak to our hearts and do that work that only you can do. And we'll love you and thank you and praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want you to notice tonight in verse number 31 that when our text opens here, there's three key people that's in this story here that we ought to pay close attention to. First of all, in verse number 31, there's the Savior. The Bible says, "And the Lord said." We can stop right there tonight, because anytime Jesus or anytime God wants to speak to our heart, it's always a blessing. Amen. In fact, I think too many times we do the talking when we ought to do the listening and let the Lord do the speaking. Amen. And we all can't tonight to hear from Him. Isn't that right? And so I see the Savior. Then secondly, I see Simon. Notice the Bible said in verse 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon." And Jesus is wanting to get Simon's attention. He wants to talk to him. There's something that he has to say to him. And I want to say on just the outset of this message, I thank God for every time the Lord has had something that He wanted to say to my heart. Amen? And so I see the Savior. And then I see Simon. But there's that other character that's always going to show up, and that's Satan. Amen. He said, "Simon, Simon," he said, "Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now, I want you to think about this tonight for just a few moments. Jesus is wanting to have a conversation with Simon. There's some things that he wants to say to him. There's some things that he wants Simon to know, and he's got some things that he wants to tell him. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject, on the faith of a failure. The faith of a failure. I want you to think about tonight in this conversation what Jesus wants to say to Simon. First of all, I want you to notice in verse number 31 that he points out his foe. As he said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." You see, Jesus wanted Simon to know exactly who his enemy was. His enemy wasn't the brethren. His enemy wasn't the church down the road. His enemy wasn't another preacher across the street. His enemy wasn't even flesh and blood, friend. His enemy was someone that could not be seen with a visible eye. He could only be seen with a spiritual eye. His enemy, listen, can I stop and say this? The enemy hadn't changed in 2,000 years. Our enemy's not the brethren. Somebody say amen. Our enemy's not the church down the road, and it's not the preacher across the street. I'm telling you, our enemy tonight has not changed. He is still the devil. Amen. If I had any word of wisdom to give to young people tonight, it would be this: the devil is not your friend, he's your enemy. Amen. Just as God has a plan for your life, so does Satan. As God wants to bless you, Satan wants to strip you. He wants to rob you. He wants to steal everything good in your life. He wants to kill you. I'm telling you, God has a plan, and so does the devil for your life. And so he points out his foe. Secondly, I notice in verse number 32 that he tells him that he's prayed for his faith. Amen.
He said in verse number 32, but I had prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now, it'd be one thing if verse 31 stopped right there. But I'm glad that Jesus didn't stop with the devil. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, listen, he said, Simon, the devil's after you. He wants to sift you as wheat, but I want you to know something. I prayed for you. Amen. Brother, I tell you, I'm glad I got somebody that's prayed for me today. Brother, I'm glad I got somebody that's called my name out in prayer. And Jesus tells him, he said, the devil's after you, but I want you to know I prayed for you. So Jesus wants to talk to Simon about the two most important things in the Christian life, and that's prayer and faith. I think you would agree with me tonight that if you're going to do anything for God, you're going to have both of these. Amen. If you're going to have any victory over the devil, you're going to have prayer and you're going to have faith. And so Jesus wants to talk to Simon about prayer and faith. But in the midst of this, watch verse number 33. The Bible said in verse 33 that he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Now here's Jesus. He wants to talk to Simon about prayer and faith. But before he can go any further, Simon interrupts him. I don't know about you, but there have been some times in my life when I started talking and God said, I want you to be still and know that I'm God. Amen. Hey, some times when God just shut me up, amen, and said, I want you to be quiet. And Simon is talking when he ought to be doing the listening in verse number 33. He interrupts the Lord, and before Jesus can say anything else, he said, Lord, now, I know the devil's after me, and I appreciate you praying for me, but I want to make an announcement here. I'm ready to go with you both into prison and to death. You see, Simon thought he was ready. I wonder how many times in our life we thought we were ready. You got to think about teenagers when they get their license. They always think they're ready, aren't they? I mean, they get that permit. They think they're ready to get behind the wheel. They think they're ready to drive. Amen. They think they're ready to go. But you and I know they're not really ready, are they? And they'll argue the point. They'll say, but I got my license. I passed the test. I can drive. But you see, what we know that they don't know is there's all them other drivers out there. There's all that other danger out there that you've got to learn to avoid. Simon thought he was ready to go with God. He thought he was ready to be sifted. He thought he was ready to strengthen brethren. He even thought he was ready for prison, thought he was ready for death. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Jesus is the only one that really knows if we're ready or not. Amen. I think about when I first got called to preach, I thought I was ready to preach. And after 20-something years of preaching, I think I know less today. The more you preach, the more you realize how little you know. Isn't that right? I'm telling you, the first time you preach and God touches you, you think, man, you're ready to go over here and preach. You think you're ready to go over there and preach. I mean, you think you're ready to go. We always think we're ready to go, but Jesus knows what's in our heart. My friend, that leads us to the third point of this conversation. He points out his foe. He tells him, I prayed for your faith, but now he's going to predict his failure. Can you imagine this? Here's Simon standing with all the other apostles, and he's standing before Jesus, and he makes this bold declaration. He said, Lord, now, I know the devil's after me, and I know you prayed for me, but I'm ready to go to prison and to death. And I can see them other disciples. They think, man, oh, Peter, he's ready to go with God. He's ready to lead the brethren. What a great Christian. But Jesus lets the air out of him. I want to ask you a question tonight. Has God ever let the air out of you? Have you ever got up one morning and say, God, I'm ready to serve you more than I want to serve you more today than I've ever served you in all my life. And God let the air out of you. Jesus looks at Simon and he predicts his failure. He said, Simon, he says, you're going to fail me today. He said, today you're going to fail me. Can you imagine what a shock that was to his system? What a shock it was to the listeners that were standing by. Simon's made this bold declaration, I'm going to go to prison, I'm going to go to death. And Jesus said, oh, no, you're not. You're going to deny me today. You're going to fail me, Simon. It gets a little bit worse. He said, not only are you going to fail me today, but he said, you're going to fail me three times today. Boy, I can see the crowd, preacher, now they're starting to back up. What they thought of Simon to begin with, all of a sudden their thoughts of him's not so great anymore. They're all of a sudden they're backing out. Simon's not the man that everyone thought he was. And Jesus says, you're not just going to fail me one time. You're not just going to fail me two times, but three times today you're going to fail me, Peter. Then it gets worse. He said, Simon, you're going to fail me the worst way a Christian can fail me. not drinking, not smoking, not chewing. You know what you're going to do, Simon? You're going to do the worst thing a Christian can do. You're going to tell people you don't even know who I am. Wouldn't you agree that that would be the worst thing any Christian could do? Is to deny who Jesus Christ is. Here's a man that said, I'm ready to die for you. And Jesus looks at him and everybody's standing around and openly says, hey, you're not going to die for me. You're going to tell people you don't even know who I am. Well, I'm glad God don't work on the three-strike system. Because I'm telling you, Peter struck out on this day, didn't he? This is the worst day in his Christian life. I'm telling you, this is not the Pentecost Peter. This is the failure Peter. This is the Peter that utterly fails God on this day. And can I remind you, it's at a time when Jesus needed him the most. When Jesus really needed to count on his disciples, when he really needed someone to stand up and be counted for the cause of Christ, it was at that moment when Peter could have really shined the most, he failed God. Do you know what's amazing about this text tonight? Is Jesus, number one, he does not exalt the foe. Notice in this text, he doesn't give Satan any credit, does he? He tells what Satan is after, what his motive is, and that's all we hear about Satan. Not only does he not exalt the foe, but I want to tell you something else he doesn't do. He doesn't excuse his failure. Jesus knows there's coming a day when he's going to deal with this failure, but it's not today. You see, we think that God deals with everything in our timetable. When we fail, we think immediately, but sometimes God delays and he waits. God knows there's coming a time in John chapter number 22, I think it is, or 21, he's going to talk to Peter about this failure, but it's not today. In fact, the shocking thing about this text is that Jesus is not even surprised, and Jesus is really not even concerned about Peter failing him today. I often think about this story here that we probably get more shook up over the failure of Peter than what Jesus did. You see, there's only one thing Jesus is emphasizing in this text. It's not the foe and it's not his failure, but he's emphasizing in verse 32 his faith. If I'd have been Jesus or you would have been Jesus, and the way we prayed, you know what we would have done? We would have prayed, now, Lord, Peter's going to fail today. And Lord, don't let him fail. Don't let him fail. He's going to fail three times. But you notice Jesus didn't even pray that Peter wouldn't fail. Jesus could have surely prayed and said, Lord, the devil wants to sift him and Lord, he's after him, and God, I want you to stop the devil dead in his track. He don't even pray about the devil. He's only praying about one thing concerning Peter, and that's his faith. You see, tonight Jesus knows that flesh is going to fail. We put this facade on a lot of times and we want others to think as though we have never failed God. Can I tell you tonight, every one of us is a failure. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter where you stick our name at tonight. I'm telling you, when we pull this thing down to the brass tacks, the psalm that said, if one should mark iniquity, who could stand tonight? I'm telling you, I have failed God. I'm going to publicly make an announcement tonight. You are not looking at a success. You are looking at a failure tonight. I think success has been the failure of too many preachers and too many churches and too many ministries, and we have led a misbelief of young preachers today that if you're ever going to do anything for God, you have got to be a success. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, God never has honored success. God never will honor success. There's only one thing that God honors in all of our life, and that's faith tonight. Amen? In fact, God's not walking up and down these aisles looking for success. He's not walking up down these aisles tallying up failures. I tell you what God's a-combing in these days looking for. He's looking for a little bit of faith in this world. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you tonight, you may be sitting here and saying, preacher, oh, I have failed God. I have failed God. Can I tell you something tonight? We're not here because we hadn't failed. If I was to look across this congregation and say, how many of y'all have not failed God in 2015? There wouldn't be one hand lifted. If I was to look across this congregation and say, how many of y'all have not faced the foe in 2015? Anybody here not faced the devil? Not one hand would be raised. But here we are another year at camp meeting. Year after year, you keep coming back. It's not because you hadn't failed. It's not because you don't have a foe. I'm telling you, when I first got saved, I'd look at people in church and I'd see them get up and run the aisles and shout and praise God. And I'd think to myself, man, they must not fight the devil that I fight. They're always happy. At least some of them are. And then I'd look at them, they'd shout and testify and look like they had victory in their life all the time. And I'd say, man, they must never fail God. But I found out what brings them back is not that they haven't failed. It's not that they don't have a foe. You know what brings you back meeting after meeting? It's faith, amen. I'm telling you, there's one common denominator in this building tonight that every one of us has in common, and that's faith, amen. Brother, I'm telling you, when a man has fallen time and time again, the Bible said a just man falleth seven times, but he riseth up again. I want to ask you, what's getting that man up? It's not that he's not failed. It's not, Brother Curtis, that he's not faced the devil. What's picking that old boy back up and causing him to brush himself off? Every time he falls, he gets back up. It's his faith tonight, amen. In fact, I used to have a problem with that verse. I thought, Lord, now how in the world can you call anybody just that's all the time failing? But the Bible said the just shall live by what? Faith. The Bible said we're justified by faith. I'm going to tell you tonight, listen, Peter is an utter failure in this text, but Jesus knows that his flesh is going to fail. But I'm telling you, flesh can fail and flesh will fail. But what Jesus knows is faith must not fail. Amen. Three things tonight and we'll be through about the faith of a failure. Jesus teaches us three things in verse number 32, and I'll give them to you and be through. Number one, the faith of a failure must be prayed for. The faith of a failure must be prayed for. Jesus said in verse number 32, he said in verse 31, Satan desires that he desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But he said in verse 32, but I have prayed for thee. Can I be honest with you tonight? I thank God for people who pray for me. I heard an older preacher make this statement years ago. He said, you're no greater than the people who pray for you. And how true that is, but let me say this. Have you ever asked somebody to pray and wondered if they really did pray for you? A lot of times people are in the habit of saying, well, brother, I'll pray for you. Have you ever wondered when they walked off, do they really pray for me? You may be here tonight and say, preacher, well, I know my pastor prays for me, and that's commendable, but I wonder if there are days when the pastor doesn't get to pray for you. Oh, but I go to a good church and my church prays for me. That's wonderful. But I wonder if there's days when the church fails to pray for you. I wonder if there's days when your fellow preacher brethren get busy or tragedy or things happen in their life and maybe they forget or they fail to pray for you. You see, the bottom line is tonight, though we tell each other that and though I believe that, but there's no real guarantee that just because somebody says they're praying for you, there is no guarantee that that person really is praying for you. But I want to tell you tonight, there is someone. There is someone tonight that I promise you. I can firmly promise you on the authority of the Word of God that if the preacher forgets to pray, if the church fails to pray, if everybody you know doesn't call your name out, there is one, my friend, that I promise you has called your name out in prayer today. There is one tonight, I promise you, that sits at the right hand of the Father, and he ever liveth to make intercession. And can I tell you, he's never had a prayer that what it wasn't answered. He's closer to the Father than any preacher I know. He's so in tune with the Father that Jesus said, if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. Amen. And he's a talking to the Father for you. And he's a talking to the Father for me. He's prayed for me. He's prayed for my children. He's prayed for my church. He's prayed for my wife. He's prayed for my health. He's prayed for my spirituality. I'm glad I got somebody sitting next to the Father that's a praying for me. He's prayed the devil off of me. He's prayed me through every valley. He's prayed me through every storm. He's prayed me over every hilltop. He's prayed food on my table. He's prayed clothes on my back. He's prayed shoes on my feet. He's prayed me through the midnight hours. He prayed me in the morning time. He's prayed when I'm up. He's prayed for me when I'm down. He's prayed for me. Oh, what a Savior. He's a praying for me tonight. Amen. He knows my name tonight. I'm telling you, listen, and he's not praying for me because I'm good. And he's not praying for me because I'm successful. He's praying for me because I'm weak. He's praying for me because I'm a failure. And he knows that the faith of a failure must be prayed for. Secondly, tonight, he tells us in verse 32 that the faith of a failure not only must be prayed for, but it must prevail. Notice what Jesus said in verse 32. He said, I prayed for you, Peter, but he doesn't stop there, does he? He's going to take that prayer a little bit deeper, isn't he? He gets a little more detailed with it. He said, I prayed that your faith fail not. Jesus pinpointed something in Peter's life. Jesus had a specific prayer request for Peter. This is not a general prayer. This is not just a lay me down to sleep prayer. I'm telling you, Jesus knew exactly. I'm about to get blessed at my own preaching. He knew exactly what Peter needed. Can I be honest with you? When I pray, sometimes I don't even know what I need. The Spirit has to help me. Have you ever prayed? I'm telling you, words just would not come. You didn't even know how to express what was in your soul. And in an agony, you cried unto him. And God took that little feeble prayer. And Jesus said, now, Father, here's what he said, but here's what he means. Amen. Here's what he said, but here's what he needs. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes when I pray in doubt. Sometimes when I pray in defeat. I mean, have you ever prayed and the Lord said, hang on just a minute. Amen. Now, y'all probably more spiritual than me. There have been some times I prayed and the Holy Ghost said, stop. Start all over. You didn't say that right. Sometimes I'd go to praying and the Holy Ghost said, hang on just a second. You're praying in defeat. You don't really believe I'm going to do that. Y'all can hide your halo and tuck your wings in. How many of us has prayed and asked God for something and the Holy Ghost stopped and said, hang on a second, you ain't believing me for that. It's just formality. You're praying, hey, I'll tell you, one time I was telling a preacher, I was going through some deep waters and I was telling him something while we was eating. I said, brother, would you pray for me? He said, I sure will. He said, what are you eating, steak or chicken? You know what I'm talking about? Now, I want to tell you something. Jesus only knows one kind of praying. Our Lord never prayed for one thing that what God didn't answer it. Jesus never prayed in defeat. He's never prayed in doubt. He's never asked for anything in discouragement. He's never had to go back a second time and ask for it again. I'm telling you, whatever he's ever prayed for, God's answered that request. I'm telling you, listen, he only knows one kind of praying, that's victorious praying. And when he looked at Peter, he said, I prayed for you, and here's what I prayed, Peter. I prayed that your faith would not fail. I want to tell you something, Peter's faith could not fail because Jesus' prayer was answered. Brother, it wasn't because Peter was great, but it was because something was way down deep in Peter that God had already prayed for. I'm telling you, there wasn't enough demons and devils in hell. I'm telling you, Peter's having the worst day of his Christian life. But on the worst day, Jesus had prayed that his faith would not fail. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you, God knows flesh is going to fail. Peter's going around telling everybody, I don't know who Jesus is. One of my daughters is here tonight. My daughter could come up here and she could get behind this podium and take a microphone and she could stand before this congregation and she could say to you, she could say, this man is not my daddy. Now, he's going to try to tell you he's my dad and he's going to try to tell you that we're kin to each other, but I'm telling you, I don't know the man. I've never seen the man. He's going to try to convince you that we look alike and he's going to try to convince you that I grew up and that he loves me, but I'm telling you, I do not know that man. He is not my daddy. Some of you might even believe her. You might even say, preacher, that I'm sure that'd break your heart, but probably not as much as you think it would. It would disappoint me. But here's what I know that some of you don't know. I know that no matter what she says, that deep down inside of her, she can say it all day long, but I know that she knows that I really am her daddy. I know that she knows that. And though it may disappoint me, there's something inside of her that's telling her while she's saying that, that is your daddy. You want to know why Peter wept so bitterly? Because inside of him, deep down, Jesus had prayed for his faith. And though his flesh was falling utterly apart and was failing every test before him, there was something down in the recesses of his soul that every time he'd roll off his tongue and say, I don't know him, there's something on the inside saying, oh, yes, you do. You know who he is. You've walked with him. You've talked with him. Peter's saying, I'm telling you, I don't know this man, but something on the inside's arising. It's a building. It's saying, oh, you know who he is. You've heard him preach. You've helped him. You know who he is. You know why he wept bitterly? It was that faith inside of him. Amen. Others may have believed him, but Peter didn't believe himself. And Jesus tells us here that the faith of a failure must prevail. It must be prayed for. Then thirdly, I want to say the faith of a failure must be profitable. There's something staggering about verse number 32. And it's what Jesus says in the latter part of this verse. He says, and when. I just want to stop and say this. I thank God for the wins in our life. Jesus is not through with Peter. I'm sure by the end of this day, the brethren were. But Jesus, what? Boy, I'm glad God don't count us out as quick as they do. Jesus said, now, Peter, you're going to have the worst day of your life. You're going to be the worst Christian on the pages of the Word of God. You're going to tell everybody you don't know who I am. In fact, you're even going to curse me. But he said, when all this mess is over with, and when faith has shined through, and when my prayer has been answered, and when the devil is put on a run once again, I got a job for you to do. I'm telling you, when others had counted him out, God did not count him out. I can't find anything profitable about Peter in chapter 22, but Jesus sure found something I couldn't see. I'm telling you, listen, Jesus said, when all this is done, Peter, I want you to strengthen the brethren. Can I be honest with you tonight? If I'd have been Jesus, I wouldn't have chose Peter to strengthen the brethren. I'd have chose John, wouldn't you? John held the hand of Jesus' mother at the cross. John laid his head on the bosom of Jesus. I'm telling you, there's the man that can strengthen the brethren. There's the man, my friend, that can strengthen, go all the way. He went to Calvary. But Jesus chose the man that should have been at the back of the line. Jesus chose the man that we would have all counted out. Jesus didn't choose the man that we see as success. He chose the man that we see as an utter failure. I'm telling you, when Peter looked like he was at his worst, there was something inside of Peter that Jesus says is still profitable. You say, what is that? It's not his flesh. It's his faith. Amen. You want to know why we're in so much trouble today? We've magnified the flesh too much. We've exalted the flesh too much. I'm telling you, Jesus saw a widow above everyone else and said she's gave more than anybody else in the building. Why? Because faith rose up. Amen. And I'm not asking you tonight if you're a success. I'm not asking you tonight if you're a failure. I'm asking you tonight, do you have faith? Because I want to tell you, the one thing that God's interested in all of our life is our faith. If we're going to do anything for God, we're going to have to exercise faith. Jesus looked at Peter. And he tells him in this passage, he said, when you're converted, he said, I want you to strengthen the brethren. How was he going to do that? There's only one avenue he could do it through. It's through faith. Father, I pray tonight in Jesus' name. God, help us tonight to not get our eyes on our successes and not to get our eyes on our failures, for both of them will hinder us in this race. But I pray tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, that this week and throughout next week, Lord, you'd build faith in the heart of your people. Lord, if there's anything that you desire from us tonight, it'd be that we'd only trust you. Lord, help us tonight not to look to ourselves nor to each other. But help us to lift our eyes into the hills from which cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.